Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision, located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday.
Build it strong enough to withstand the rain, the flood, and the storm. Build it when the world is uncertain. And nothing is guaranteed. You can build a life that's built to last.
All right. I think that's probably one of my favorite sermon intros ever. Just, you know, manly. You guys remember Home Improvement, Tim the Tool Man Taylor? You know, just kind of, you know, like, yeah, you know? And all the women in the room are like, oh, gosh, you got 3-4 weeks of this. Just a real quick programming note. Kids, do I need to dismiss you, or are we good? Okay, good deal. All right, good deal. Thank you. I was too busy playing the piano and just kind of into it. I think I saw my son, but he's not feeling well. So, all right, good deal. But, man, just I saw that, and it's like, it just kind of makes you just like, yeah, let's go make something. You know, let's go do something with our hands. Let's build something. And so we all like things that are built to last, right? I mean, we all like things that are built to last. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at what does it mean to have this life built to last? And we're going to talk about different areas of things that we want built to last. This one is just kind of an introduction but we want to talk about what does it mean to have a financial picture that's built to last? What does it mean to have relationships that are built to last? And just all sorts of things that to help us understand that as we move into this new year, I know we're midway through January, but we're still kind of in this new year. So Lord, what can we do? What would you have us to do to make sure that we have a life built to last? You know, I came across a picture on Facebook yesterday, on my Facebook memories, and it was a picture of about 8 years ago with my youth group from West Columbia Central. And it reminded me of a few things. One, as I looked at the picture, I had I've officiated the wedding of one guy that was in that picture 8 years ago in my youth group, and this summer I'll be officiating another wedding of someone from that youth group. And so it reminded me of a few things. One, I'm getting old. You know, when you start as a youth pastor or former youth pastor, when you start marrying off those who grew up in your youth ministry, you're getting old. Two, it reminds me, man, time marches on, doesn't it? Time marches on. Time does not wait on anyone. And it reminded me that as time moves on, things wear down. Anything mechanical, anything that's man-made, that's built, at some point, it's gonna wear down. At some point, it's gonna malfunction. And so we live in a world where companies and manufacturing plants, they do their best, some of them, they do their best to make sure that they build it to last. Now, this past in the last 2 weeks, we were told the truth about there's one company that intentionally doesn't really build their stuff to last because they want you to buy a new one every other year. And so Apple finally told us that, yeah, the iPhone really may not be built to last as from a software, from a battery standpoint, because we want it to run down because we need you to go out and buy a $1,000 phone every 2 years. And I'm still kicking the iPhone 6. I used to be that guy that had to get the new one, but I'm fine. I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I got my iPhone 6. When this one runs out, I'll go to a website, I'll get a refurbished one, and we'll just keep on rolling. But for the most part, we companies, they use quality parts. They want to do something that's built to last. And a lot of times, how they build it, the parts they use, depends on what its purpose is. You know, depending on what they know that the product's going to do, depends on how they build it. And so I came across this video on Facebook. Now, this is a mechanical piece of machinery, and it works, it functions, but I doubt that it's really built to last. Check this out. So that's a pneumatic engine. It's built to look like a V6, and it runs off of pneumatic. So it's a working, functional V6 engine. There's other ones you can find online that the guys have built, but it's made out of Legos. So it works. Yeah, it does its job. But being built out of Legos, do you think that it's built to last? No, I mean it may last on, you know, a Lego piece, but even then, if you know anything about Legos, at some point they're gonna kind of get loose and they're gonna kind of fall apart. So let's talk about something that is more sturdy. So up here, I have this electric motor up here, and I happen to be really close to somebody who knows a lot about electric motors, and that's kind of like their business, and so. Casey's dad has spent 40 plus years in the electric motor business, and I spent about 8 weeks in it. And if you know anything about me, then you know that I thought I was probably the expert in being there for 8 weeks. And I was talking to him about this. I said, "Man, I want to know. So what makes a motor work? More specifically, what makes it last? And two, What are the two most common malfunctions that you see?" Because his company, they go in these big factories, and when their motors have wore out, when they need replaced, whatever, when they need rewounded, he comes and he does all that stuff. And if I had my dream, I would have had this whole platform just full of like motors and chrome and all sorts of stuff. But where we are now at the church, this is what we get. We get this little couple horsepower, 75-pound little motor. But I said, "Talk to me about this." I said, "What's the two most things that you see when you go in and somebody needs something rebuilt? What has happened?" He said, "Well, a lot of times the insulation has worn out. So if you know anything about this, when these motors are when they wind them with copper and then they're varnished and they put them into an oven and they literally bake it and then they insulate the coils because they got to keep it cool." And I said, "Well, tell me about the insulation that you use." He said, "Well, we only use this high grade of insulation. There's several grades, but at Hobgood Electric, we only use this type of temperature rated insulation because it's the best of the best of the best." And I said, "So you don't offer putting in the subgrade stuff to if you want to save them money?" No, because I don't want my name on anything that isn't built to last. And I said, "Okay." I said, "So what's the insulation?" He said, "What keeps it cool?" He said, "Usually there's on this model there would have been a fan that's forcing air into the motor to keep it cool." I was like, "That's interesting." So a motor has to be well insulated in order to run properly. I'm pretty sure I can do something with that. I said, "What else you got?" He said, "Well, the other thing I see is misalignment." I said, "Okay, so you're talking about the shaft here is obviously on this motor, it would be connected to a piece of machinery, and it's meant to go into a machine and we'll do whatever this machine is doing, whether it's a conveyor belt at an asphalt plant or whatever." I said, "So if it gets misaligned, it's not able to do its purpose because it's out of alignment." He said, "Yeah, and it's going to throw the bearings off, and then the bearings are going to go out, and then," I said, "Okay." So I begin to think about these things, and he began to tell me about, you know, even the wiring is used, this special wiring that's used to be able to withstand heat. I mean, he said, "For us, we only use the best. We don't even offer any sort of any other level other than just using the best products because we want things that are built to last." And so for this, for any sort of mechanical purpose, it's easy, it can be built to last when you know its purpose, when you understand what it's intended to do, then you can begin to understand, okay, how do we then build this to last? How do we then build this to last? I want to turn your attention to an Old Testament text. And in this Old Testament text, we find the people of God, we find the children of Israel at a point where they need to be reminded of their purpose. They need to be reminded of God's plan. Because in order for them to be built to last, in order for them to be able to get through the current situation that they're in, that they're having to be reminded of who they are and what God's purpose is for them and what God's plan is for them. So turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 29. And I'm going to read just verses 11 through 14 for you. And it'll be up on the screen. But really, and we'll dive into this more. But just focus in on Jeremiah 29 verses 11 through 14. Hear the word of the Lord. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me. And I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. This is the word of the Lord. Aren't you thankful? Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for the reading of your word. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to thee, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. So I read to you a verse that's you've probably heard before. Everybody familiar with Jeremiah 29:11? If you've ever gone through a hard time, I'm sure there's been a faithful friend that's come to you and has quoted Jeremiah 29:11 to you. And I'll be honest with you, this particular, going in this direction with this particular text for this particular sermon was actually pretty tough for me because it's a verse that is so well known. And if we're not careful, it's easy to take these verses by themselves and take them out of context. It's easy to use Jeremiah 29:11 and say, hey, you know, God's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for you, a plan to prosper you. Hey, don't worry. You feel like you're kind of crunched now, but don't worry. God's got a plan to prosper. He's going to give you a lot of money. He's going to bless you. Don't worry. You know, so it's easy to go that direction with this text in and of itself. But as we dive into the text, as we get behind the text, it'll help us see more clearly what the prophet here is trying to say. So Jeremiah, he wrote during a time of division among God's people. At this time, the children of Israel, their nation had been split into two. So you had Israel and you had Judah. And so this particular text, Jeremiah, in this particular instance, he's writing to the nation of Judah. Judah was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar around 597 BC. Jehoiachin was the king then. He was only 18 years old when he was ruling Judah. And he only ruled it for about 3 months. Then Nebuchadnezzar comes in and captures them. And if you go back to the beginning of chapter 29, you see who Jeremiah is writing to. He's writing to the elder, he's writing to the priest, he's writing to these folks who've been taken into captivity. They've been taken from their homeland. They are now in Babylon, and he's writing to them because he needs to give them instruction. Because in their mind, they feel like that this captivity is only going to last for a little bit. I mean, they're doing their best to not even put down roots. They're like, oh, you know, this is only temporary. And Jeremiah comes in and says, yeah, it's going to be temporary in the big picture, but leaving Babylon may not be as imminent as you think it is. In fact, Look at verse 4. That'll be on the screen early in the chapter. Verses 4 and 5. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. And look at verse 5. Build houses. Settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. And so this is what Jeremiah is trying to say to the people of Judah here. It's like, listen, I need you to get comfortable. I need you to realize that God's plan is so much bigger than just zapping you guys out of here. It's so much bigger than you guys going in, you know, regretting the things that you've done and God just getting you out of here really quickly. There's a different plan. There's a different process. There's a different purpose that God is going to use you for. You see, because the truth is, the Babylonian captivity had nothing to do with the power of Babylon, but everything to do with the disobedience of God's people. However, the fact that the God is speaking to his people shows that even in exile, God still loves his people and will not leave them. God's spoken word here means that there is a hope for these exiled people. And so he tells them to build and plant. If you do any sort of study in the book of Jeremiah, the whole book, you'll see this theme of build and plant. Build and plant. And I think this is why God used Jeremiah to remind the people of Judah that God does have a plan for them, a plan to prosper them. He had to remind them of this because the process was not going to look anything like they thought it was going to look like. And I feel like that we in life, sometimes we get to a point in life where we feel like we don't know our plan, we don't know the purpose, we don't know why we're in the place that we're in. And it's difficult to build a life. It's difficult to insulate ourselves with a thought process that's going to build this life built to last if we don't first understand what God is trying to show us and what God is trying to teach us in the moment in which we're in. And so as we start this series of what it is to be built to last, we first have to recognize our purpose. We have to understand our plan. We have to understand the process. Because the truth is, there is a plan. Look at verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Now remember, this is said in the context of Jeremiah telling the Judah, hey, get comfortable. In fact, later on, he says, hey, it's going to be 70 years, so you might as well get used to this thing. You know, they're trying to live out of their suitcase, and Jeremiah comes along and says, no, you better unpack that suitcase. You better build and you better plant, because God's plan, God's purpose is a lot bigger than just getting you guys out of here right now. I'm going to use you while you're here in exile. I'm going to use this as a moment to show the world what the people of God look like. And honestly, we're so quick to look to verse 11. Time of trouble, time of distress, you know, trying to make somebody feel good. But I would argue, verse 13 is the kicker. Look at verse 13. So yeah, God's got plans for us. Yeah, God wants to give us a hope. He wants to give us a future. But without verse 13, we're not really going to understand. Without verse 13, we're going to think God's plans to prosper is based on what we think prosperity is. And Jeremiah says, hey, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And so when we're trying to wrestle with, God, what is your purpose for my life? What is your plan? How can I build a life built to last? If we're not seeking God with all of our heart, then we're not going to find the answer. If we're so busy trying to find plans based on our desires, based on what we want, then we're going to have a hard time understanding what God is trying to do in our lives. So what does it look like? What does it look like to seek God with all your heart? If I can kind of go back to the way an electric motor is built, I think it looks like this. Being insulated in the Word of God keeps us in line with His plan. Being insulated in the Word of God keeps us in line with His plan. You know, when Perry told me that it was so important for the copper coils in this thing to be very insulated, to be well insulated with good material, I was like, man, bingo. I mean, because our hearts are meant, our lives are meant to be insulated with the Word of God. Not just our hearts. Because the Apostle Paul would remind us in Romans 12 that also we need a renewing of our mind. And so as we hide the Word in our hearts, hopefully it's renewing all of who we are. All of who we are. So let's be insulated in the Word of God. I was so thankful for Donnie and his ministry last week. Man, wasn't that great? I listened to the recording. I was amening and just going right along with it. You guys are here, right? Because it's kind of quiet. Amen. It was kind of quiet. I didn't hear as many amens as I really thought I should have, you know? And I said, well, maybe he's speaking Spanish and they're just not understanding. I don't know. But Donnie, thank you. And really, I know the Lord kind of gave you that you were going one direction and you kind of changed. And if I'd have known that, I would have kind of worked you in this series, because that's really where it's at. To be insulated with the Word of God is to be in the Word of God. And so last week, Donnie reminded us of how important it is to have a thorough and a deliberate and an intentional study in God's Word, in the Scriptures. Because everything that we need to know, everything that we need to know about Jesus, about His plan of salvation, about how He wants to transform us, everything that needs to be revealed to us is revealed right here. And that's why you got to be careful when someone comes along and says, well, I got a revelation from God. Okay, this is what I do. I said, all right, I'm ready. Got my Bible open. I'm ready for your revelation, because if it's not in here, then it's not a revelation. You ate pizza too late last night and you having crazy dreams. Because everything that we need to insulate our hearts, to insulate our mind, is right here in the Scriptures. Because this is how we're built on a solid ground. This is how we're built on a firm foundation. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 7, about what it looks like when we hear the Word, we hear His teachings, when we hear His Word, and we build upon that, we insulate ourselves with that. Jesus talks about this in Matthew 7. It's on the screen, beginning with verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words, okay, what words? Okay, this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. This is the end of the most famous sermon ever. All right, the most, in my book, most famous sermon ever. I mean, some of the most valued words of our Master. They are here in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, Beatitudes. He's going through what it is. You know, judging all these things. And so he gets coming to the end of it. And he says, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man, a wise builder who built his house on a rock. Then rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. Then rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Jesus is talking about what it is to have a life that's built to last. And he's reminding us of what it is to be to be insulated in His Word, because that keeps us in line with His plan. And guess what? Being aligned with His plan keeps us living out our God-giving purpose. When we are in His Word, then we understand His plan for us. And when we understand His plan for us, then we can live out our God-given purpose. You know, plans are important. I meant to bring them up, but in my office, I took a picture of them this week, and we have, in my office is, I have them rolled up. I don't have them on display, but I don't have them framed. I want to get them framed. But in my office is the original plans for this building, the original blueprints. And so this week I was every now and then I'll roll them out and look at them, you know, and, you know, it's kind of dream and think about what it was like to, you know, to draw those up. And I was looking at them and I said, you know what, these plans, they were drawn because they understood that there was going to be a purpose here. You know, they understood that as their church, as a church of the Nazarene here in Camden, you know, their purpose was to be able to was to expand. And of course, we understand that the church is not a building. Understand, this is simply a tool that the church uses to present the gospel. But as I looked at those plans, I said, you know, here in a very tangible form is what it looks like to have a plan and to know where you're going, to know your purpose, because you have it all laid out. And folks, I want to kind of challenge us to be insulated in the Word of God, to understand His plan, and then when we see that, we understand that what His purposes are for us. To kind of switch to the building analogy, the reason that the Word of God is so important is because hopefully it's used to make sure that our life is kind of is level, is in balance, it's squared with what God has for us. You know, and so one of these, you know, everybody needs a good level, right? And this was my dad's level that he gave to me. And, well, he didn't really give it to me. But when people pass away, then you get their stuff. So I'd rather him still have it. But, you know, you use a level to make sure things are right. You know, and so we really need to view this as this, right? You know, if we're going to be built to last, then we have to have an understanding that we have to use this to examine our lives. We have to use this to make sure that it's level with the Word of God. You know? And it's so easy to try to use our own thoughts and our own plans and our own desires and maybe just try to justify things for us to do what we want to do. But the truth of the matter is, all of our decisions, everything we do in life, we need to butt this up against our decisions, our lifestyle choices. We need to butt that up against the Word of God and make sure it's level. And here, sometimes we butt up against our hearts, and maybe it's like this. And we're like, let me just put that down. Or we look at it, it's like, well, I mean, it's just outside the bubble. You know, I mean, come on, it's just outside the lines. It's not that out. But if we don't do this, then we're not going to know our purpose. And knowing our purpose, this is the last point. Knowing the purpose helps us remember God's process. So being built to last means that we understand that God has a plan, that God has a purpose, and that God has a process. So going back to our Old Testament ancestors, they had to be reminded that, listen, you're going to be here 70 years. Let's just go ahead and just let you know that. It's going to be about a 70-year stint here. But guess what? I have not left you. That's what God was saying to the people of Judah. I have not left you. I am not going to leave you hanging because I have a plan for you, a plan for you to be prosper. We got to be careful with that. Prosper as far as you're still going to be used to take my name to all the world. You're still going to be part of this salvific plan that obviously is fully revealed in Jesus Christ. You're still, that's still going to happen. So you got to, here's the process. And so we today, I think sometimes when we get to a point in our lives, when we feel like that maybe everything's falling apart, we feel like that we haven't been built to last, we've got to remember that God does have a plan for us. And that plan is to live out his purposes, to live out his process, which is really his process is to love God and to love people. And here's the thing, when we can change our mindset to understand, to see the world the way that God sees the world, then we'll quickly quit worrying about all of our small inconveniences and we'll quickly be reminded, man, God's doing something so much bigger here. That God wants to maybe use my valley experience to bring glory to his kingdom. That maybe the process that I'm not seeing is this process that God wants to use me, to use my journey, to speak truth and to speak life into someone else's life. So God's process is redemption. It's living out the words of Jesus Christ. And so over the next few weeks, as we look at various topics, we're going to be reminded that a life that is built to last is a life that is grounded and rooted in God's word. And we're going to look at various things, you know, various topics, and it's always going to come back to what does God's word say about this? If you want finances that are built to last, what does God's word say about our generosity and how we are to be good stewards? If we want a marriage that is built to last, then what does God's word say about it? If we want a relationship that's built to last, if we want to anything, what does God's word say about how to construct that in a way that is built to last? The band's going to come up, and we're going to end in a song. And, you know, we sang this song, what a beautiful name, the name of Jesus. And I really couldn't think of any better way to end this service when we're kicking off a series on what it means to be built to last than to understand that, man, a life that is built to last is a life that celebrates the beautiful name of Jesus. That he's beautiful, that he's wonderful, that he's powerful. And you may be like Judah. You may feel like that you're in exile. You may feel like that, man, I'm just in a place and I just want God to get me out of here. I don't feel like I'm built to last at all. I feel like I'm built to kind of be destroyed any minute now. Now, I want to remind you that God's got a plan for us. He's got a purpose for it. He's got a plan to bring redemption into our lives. And that process may not look exactly the way you want it to look like, but it's a process that's going to lead us to where we need to be. It's a process that's going to get us to where we need to be, to see the world, to see our situation the way that God sees the situation. Because when we have those type of eyes, when we have that godly vision, then we begin to see what it means to have a life that's built to last. Let's stand and sing.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation now revealed in you our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. Sin was great. Name it is, what a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is, the name. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, the silence, the boast of sin and grave.
The heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again.
And you have no rival, you have no equal. Yours is the kingdom,
yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names.
Oh, what a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a powerful name it is, nothing can stand. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Thank you. visiting CamdenFirstChurch.org.